What does it mean to live a fulfilled life? Well, I think for some, they may seek to live in paradise. They would like to live on some tropical island, or maybe at a nice lake in the northern part of the United States, or anywhere. It's interesting. There's a lot of people who on YouTube have a pursuit of some various lifestyles. There's some that promote and share about living the RV life. And these are people who just make their way across the country and just visit and live in the various spots that they visit. And they've actually been under a lot of stress during this pandemic, because a lot of the campgrounds that they stay at are now closed. But there's others who are downgrade a little bit, who live the van life. I actually saw another one who lived the Honda Accord life. And so basically living out of her Honda Accord, it's kind of interesting. But some people like to travel. They want to be free and to pursue the open road. Others want to maybe have a good career or attain a nice place to live. And for others, it's more about relationships. It's maybe having good friends or a close connection with their family members. And for others, it may be making a difference in the world. There's a lot of means and ways that people seek to live a fulfilled life. And maybe seeking to live a fulfilled life is more challenging in our current circumstance, because people are just kind of locked in at home and in many cases are experiencing financial stress or family stress or just boredom, and they want a way out. And so I think people are appreciating in some places where they can get out and go to the beach and kind of get away from what they've been experiencing. But we see that there are a lot of ways that people do pursue happiness and try to live a fulfilled life. But it's kind of interesting. I was reading a study that was entitled "The Paradoxical Effects of Valuing Happiness." The Paradoxical Effects of Valuing Happiness. And this was a journal article in the American Psychological Association. And they use the word paradoxical because they basically determined and found something that you wouldn't expect. And what they found was that people who chased, here's the quote, researchers found that chasing happiness can be self-defeating, because the more people value happiness, the more likely they will feel disappointed. Because people value happiness, the more people value happiness, the more they will feel disappointed. That's kind of interesting. Here's people who really have a desire to be happy or maybe to be fulfilled, but the more they want it, actually, the less able they're able to attain that. Counselor, psychologist Emily Smith writes, "Even though life is getting objectively better by every conceivable standard, at least here in America, more people feel hopeless, depressed, and alone." And so the fact that that people have more opportunities now, have an ability to live an easier life, actually, they're experiencing more depression and angst and hopelessness. And I think this is where we can really personally maybe learn something from Jesus in terms of how we can focus our life, living a fulfilled, or what the Bible also calls an abundant life. But also, I think this can be a real means of hope as we seek to share the good news to others, because it seems like this is really a need. People aren't basically fulfilling their desires, and they are found that they are wanting and that they have a lack. And so our thesis for today is that living a truly fulfilled life means following Jesus as your shepherd. Living a truly fulfilled life means following Jesus as your shepherd. And the first thing that we see in this passage from John 10 is Jesus saves you. I don't know if you've ever seen someone like this out on the street corners, Jesus saves. I'm not exactly sure how effective they are in their evangelistic technique in waving these signs, but they are usually quite enthusiastic and they do have a good heart wanting people to come to know the Lord. And in fact, that's what we see from our passage. All who have come before me, Jesus says, are thieves and robbers, and the sheep will not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And so I think there was a debate at this time during Jesus's life in terms of, you know, what was the true path? How is one saved? And I think people had questions who Jesus was. Was he actually the anointed one that was that truly was offering people a means of salvation? Or was he some kind of false prophet? But in fact, Jesus is saying here that that he is the one by which someone is saved. And even those Pharisees that he's addressing, I think though they were at least in their minds seeking to follow the truth of the Bible, even they missed the boat. And maybe they more than others were the thieves and the robbers who were pointing people rather to into a relationship with God, to love God like David did. Rather, they were pointing them to a more legalistic observance of their religion of Judaism. It's interesting here that Jesus also says that he is the gate. And when I was reflecting on this, it's like, well, how can someone be a gate? Like we don't think today as a gate being a person. But then I thought, you know, in my New York days, I actually lived in one part apartment that had a doorman building. Usually if you live in a in an apartment or a co-op, they call them in New York, with a doorman, it's a very like pretty upper class type of thing. And I definitely wasn't upper class, but one of our church members' parents rented an apartment to me and my friend. So they had a doorman, and the doorman's name was Ronnie. This wasn't Ronnie. This is just a representative of a doorman. But when you have a doorman in a building, they are the gatekeeper. They will only let in people that live in the building, and they actually get to know you. They don't have to look on a list. You don't have to swipe a card. They know you. Whenever I would come home or my roommate would come home, Ronnie would greet us and let us go, you know, up and take the elevator up to our room. And if it's someone who maybe the doorman doesn't know, well, he's just not going to let them in. Or if it's a guest, he will call the apartment, and then he'll have to get the approval. But I think this kind of gets at what Jesus is talking about. Jesus actually doesn't just man a gate. Jesus is the gate, and it is by him that we can enter into our rest and receive salvation. Jesus goes on to say, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I was at a conference this past week. Well, I wasn't really at a conference. I was at home, but they had online sessions. And in one of the breakouts that I went to, they were discussing about how the fact that America in particular, maybe in Europe and other places, these places are becoming more post-Christian. Less and less people are identifying as Christians. And, you know, what is that about? Are they becoming atheists or agnostic? And the workshop leader actually said that he felt that people are still religious. The people that are leaving the church or have left the church or maybe never were really that connected to it, but no longer identify as Christians, they are still religious, but they're practicing and seeking truth and seeking meaning, maybe seeking fulfillment in a lot of different practices, maybe through meditation, maybe through Buddhism, maybe through yogic type practices. People are seeking maybe a spirituality in their lives. A lot of people will say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I'm not necessarily saying that those who practice these or the leaders who are promoting these are doing it from an evil heart or intention. For many of them, I think it may just be they don't know the truth. So we find ourselves in a situation that people do desire to find maybe meaning in their life, and they do have a religious orientation, but they're just no longer seeking the truth of Jesus. And unfortunately, these would be considered, from this passage anyways, false teachers. We normally would think of maybe cults that would be in the false practice variety, but I think at this point a lot of it has to do with types of meditation and more Eastern practices. But we have one who truly saves, who truly gives us hope, and can truly help us and help this world find the fulfillment that they're looking for. The second thing that we see in this passage is Jesus speaks to you. And we see this in a variety of places in this passage. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. In this first part of the passage, it's basically two different sections. And in the first part, it's showing the shepherd as one that the sheep follow, and Jesus is that shepherd. And the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then later on, it goes on to say, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And so we see Jesus, the shepherd, the good shepherd, calling out to those sheep that he knows, those that hear his voice are the sheep that are following the good shepherd. And this is a picture of a dog park. I think I have dogs on my mind a lot lately because we just got our puppy, Sammy. But a dog park is a place that, you know, dogs hang out. But I would venture to say that if you're at a dog park, maybe even if you know some of the other dogs, they probably won't come to you if you call them. Maybe they will. Some dogs are friendly. But if an owner really wants to get the attention of their dog, they will call the dog's name, and hopefully the dog will come running to them. Unfortunately, our dog is a beagle, and a beagle usually follows their scent more than a call. But, you know, our dog Sammy does, you know, will usually come to us when we call. But dogs actually know their names. And it's interesting, dogs even know each other's names. We have a dog next door named Shep, and Shep will come to me if I call him. But if I tell Sammy to go to Shep, she knows where to go. So, so even dogs know each other's names. But it's really mind-boggling to know that that Jesus knows us. He calls his own sheep by name. So we are his. We are owned, in a sense, by the Lord. And that is really a mind-boggling thing, that the God of the universe knows our name, we're not just left to our own devices. We're just a planet in a solar system, in a galaxy of hundreds of millions of galaxies. We're not insignificant. We are known by the Lord of the universe. And this particular song that was sung by Paul Baloche really came to my mind as I was reflecting on that. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And indeed, I think this sums up this relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus. He knows our name. He cares for us. He seeks to lead us and to guide us. And he knows our thoughts. He knows our tears. He knows our trials. And he really wants to help us and to encourage us and comfort us in whatever we're going through. The next thing that we see, and the final thing that we see here, is that Jesus shepherds you. It says that he, Jesus, calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And so here we get the picture of the shepherd leading and guiding the sheep. He is going out ahead of them. He's just not leading the sheep to their own devices to just, yeah, go out now, sheep. You can do whatever you want. You can go in whatever wilderness area that you want. Of course not. He's leading the sheep. And actually, we even know from the parable of the lost sheep that if indeed a sheep strays, or if you stray, our Lord, our shepherd, will leave the 99 and go and seek to find us and to bring us back to safety. And so we can take comfort in those words. Just the other day, I was talking to a chaplain friend of mine, and when I was delivering the mass to the hospital, and we were talking about a person that we knew, and their life was just really a mess. And one of the things that we were really talking about in our conversation was that, you know, if people would just follow, you know, the precepts of our Lord, if they would follow the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Bible, they could really save themselves a lot of heartache. And in fact, we see this in Proverbs, the truth that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so often we seek to live our own lives, and we maybe have good intentions. We do what we do maybe to have happiness, but sometimes it ends in death. Ultimately it could be spiritual death, it could be literal death, but even figuratively, there's a kind of death maybe that we experience when someone sows the consequences of their sins, or reaps the consequences of their sins. And a lot of heartache can happen when we pursue our own way, not the way of God. But we can thank God that he has given us a shepherd, Jesus, to lead us and to guide us and to bring us to a place of peace and rest. And here we say that they come in and go, the sheep then, they will come in and go out. They find pasture. And then Jesus goes on to say, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so we get this idea that there's safety when with the shepherd. We are in the pasture, and the shepherd is watching over this, over us. And the sheep can come and go. And ultimately, it's the shepherd who is seeking to help the sheep to have an abundant and fulfilled life. Now, this word abundant life, or living life to the full, actually the Greek word for this is a mathematical meaning, and it basically means abundance. And the picture that I kind of got out of that, especially having this mathematical monetary meaning, is basically a life overflowing of abundance, and in this case of wealth. I don't know how much money is there, but it looks like a lot. But we've already seen, though, as we've explored this, that seeking, you know, money and seeking success isn't necessarily that which will bring us ultimate fulfillment. There's a quote by a theologian by the name of James Montgomery Boyce, and he says, the abundant life is above all a contented life, in which our contentment is based upon the fact that God is equal to every emergency and is able to supply our needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. And I really like this when he says that the abundant life above all is a contented life. It's a life that that we are content in the pasture with our Savior, our Shepherd, looking over us. An abundant life isn't necessarily a long life. An abundant life isn't necessarily a easy or comfortable life. An abundant life is a life of satisfaction and contentment in Jesus. And as our Lord leads us and guides us, we can take heart in the fact that that He knows our name, and that He cares for us, and He really seeks to work in our lives, whatever our circumstances, even when things are going crazy like they are now in the pandemic, even when we're going through trials, even when we're experiencing persecution. Our God, our Shepherd, is there to help meet our needs and to bring us hope and peace and contentment and ultimately meaning in our lives. And so how can we live this out? Well, I think there's a number of things that that we can think through practically as we seek to live a life that's truly fulfilled, meaning following Jesus as your shepherd. And, you know, when I say, you know, we're called to follow Jesus as our shepherd, we may think, well, how do we actually do that? Well, I think there's a number of ways and a number of things that we can be challenged in. And one is to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you happen to not know Christ as your Savior, he is the means of salvation. He is the gate. It is by Him by which we're saved. And so this is a calling indeed to follow Jesus and to accept Him into your life as His Savior. And we do that by confessing before Him that indeed we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but that we repent and that we seek the Lord's salvation, that we ask Him to come into our hearts and lives, and that we seek to follow Him as our Savior. And for some of you, for most of us here, we probably have accepted Christ as our Savior. And for that, we can give thanks. We can glorify God. But for maybe some of us, that's also a calling back to a place where we really seek to live out the gospel in our lives. And so we can also do that, living out the gospel, by seeking to know Jesus as your friend. As we were exploring Jesus, Jesus calls us. As sheep, we hear His voice. And so how do we hear His voice? Well, we do so by seeking to know Jesus as our friend. And I think one of the main ways that we can perhaps do this then is to maybe re-explore who Jesus is and seek to really reflect on His life and on His ministry and on His person. And we can do that by reflecting on His life as we read through the Gospels. And so I would encourage you to read through the Gospels. Maybe pick a book, pick Matthew or pick John, and just seek to read through it and be refreshed maybe in your knowledge of who Jesus is. We also are going through right now a 30 days of drawing closer to the Lord and in a devotional time. And so I would encourage you to join us in that, and that can be a means of drawing closer to God. I think the devotion is called 30 Days to Greater Faith. And so part of the passages that we're reading are centered on Jesus. And so we can seek to know Jesus by seeking the truth in His word and what the gospel writers, those closest to Him, wrote about Him. And then finally, follow Jesus as your shepherd. And so how then do we do that? Well, I think part of following Jesus as our shepherd is just maybe coming to the place where we find our comfort, we find our security, we find rest, we find our protection, we find peace through Him. And so this isn't maybe something that we do, but maybe it's something we experience as we draw closer to God. Maybe it's just a change in our mind in terms of really realizing who Jesus is, that He is our good shepherd, and that He loves us, and that he cares for us. And it kind of brings us back to the Psalm 23 that was our call to worship today, that very famous psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul." And so we can come to Jesus as our shepherd, and through Him, we can truly experience the abundant life, the fulfilled life that he desires. And I really like this image of this glass of water being filled to overflowing. And in a sense, that is what Jesus desires for our life when we follow him, that he live in us, that he work in us, that he do a work in us, that in doing so, maybe we don't experience all of the things that the world calls us to be as in terms of worldly success, but that we experience Jesus in a way that he works in our heart, and indeed the streams of living water will flow from us as we seek him as our shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this encouraging these encouraging words from John, knowing that Jesus is indeed our shepherd, and that he cares for us and he loves us, and he desires that we do live a fulfilled life. But that fulfilled life isn't what we find in the world's definition of success. It's found in a kingdom definition of success, and it comes through the Spirit working in our hearts and lives, drawing us closer to him. And so I pray for each one of us that you can indeed work in our hearts and lives as we seek Jesus as our shepherd. We pray in his name. Amen.